All right, and we are live. I believe the microphone is hopefully working. So again, welcome everyone to the Super Evil Megacorp Dev Dialogue. I am here. My name is Ed the Shred. I'm the chief executive here at Super Evil. I'm joined here with by rather surprise birthday,
hey guys.
Chief product. Also Captain Ito, chief creative.
Hi.
And Fire Tiger, not to be confused with Fire Lily. Fire Tiger, who runs product management over here, so all things balancing and such things in our systems. So we wanted to have this dev dialogue. We do these things every now and then. We had a wonderful run on Churnwalker a few months ago. We wanted to do one at the start of this year because literally everything in the game is changing over the next few months, and we thought it was a good opportunity to talk about that and get all of the folks who know what they're talking about, hopefully, talking through some of these things. Really appreciate all of the questions that you guys have been sending throughout the week. There's been lots of good stuff there. So without further ado, wanted to kick it off. Let's start with probably one of the most asked about questions, frankly, much more so than we ever expected. Turns out that the community as a whole, you guys, far more opinions on graphic design than we ever thought was possible. So let me start with this. The question, one of the most upvoted questions overall is, in terms of the expected UI changes, what were the deciding factors that led to the new design? How close was this image to the final design? And in some cases, just capital WTF, are you guys thinking? So let me start with that. Let me start. Surprise birthday. And yeah. So talk to us about the shade of blue. All right.
Hey guys, surprise birthday here. So I would say right now, the UI is what we call layout complete, but not art complete. So which exact shade of blue, or is it indigo? Is it splash art? How colorful is it going to be? Is it going to be Lyra? Anything that's about art is still not yet final, but the layout, where the buttons are, how many buttons are on the side, where things belong and where they're placed, we're pretty sure we want to go with this layout. Let me take a step back and talk about how we got here and why we decided to redo the UI. It's very rare to see a community ask for a UI change, so it's kind of, you know, you need really good reasons to start doing it in the first place. In 2017, last year, we've added a lot of features in a lot of game mode, and we've kind of tacked all those features on incrementally into the old UI. And what's kind of happened is we've lost a sense of hierarchy of what's more important than other things in the menu. If you look at our front page today, there's a bunch of things screaming at you, grabbing your eye's attention. They all seem to be roughly equal in importance. But since we are a video game, what could be more important than play? And play in the current UI, actually, when we showed this to a lot of new players who are not experienced with Vainglory, one of the common questions was just, how do I play? This is a video game. How do I freaking play the video game? So that the number one principle is just reorganize the hierarchy of what's important. So of course the play button, there it is. It is front and center. We also really, really want to reduce the number of things on the sidebar. There were 7 things on the sidebar. That's kind of saying there are 7 top level important things. We really, really wanted to bring it down to 5 and reorganize and find a proper home for the other things based on the right level of prominence. We also really, really wanted to elevate party to a more prominent place. So if you study it carefully, party is actually now a root level thing. We found that a lot of people just join a party and they don't just play one game, but they just hang out in the party all day long, adding a person, subtracting a person, flipping different game modes. People spend a lot of time in parties. And so we wanted to elevate that. So this is a lot of work, and a lot of it is still not done. In fact, over the next couple of releases, we will continue to tune the UI. So not only are we seeing the art, the color treatment, and also the splash art, the very, very important background on the home screen, we're still doing that for 2.12. We're going to revisit it for 3.0. But over the next couple of releases past 3.0, we're actually going to be bringing some of the same caliber effects and animation that you find inside of the game in the menu themselves. Because at the end of the day, we are a game. I mean, there's a lot of UI. You know, we're not the place where you check your email, look at your calendar, check the weather. This is the place where you travel between rounds of a MOBA. So it's really important to us that the game, the menu, exudes the same level of game production value as when you're inside Halcyon's Fold for the new Sovereign's Rise.
Yeah, so it's, I guess it's fair to say, one, the layout complete, but not art complete point, that there's a lot of iteration happening, and frankly, that it will continue to evolve beyond 2.12 through 3.0, 3.1 over time, and that we are really passionate about bringing up production value of it and the ease of navigation. Would that be a fair summary? Right. Anything, Captain Ida, anything you have on the more on the creative
side? On the creative side, so I'm always excited and happy whenever we find pockets of passion that we randomly trip over with a community that we did not know beforehand existed, and this was no different. Regardless of whether you love the new UI or you the new UI, I'm just really grateful that you guys have strong opinions, that you share it with us, because the more we hear from you guys, the better we can tune our compass needles. When it comes down to the new UI, I actually think it looks gorgeous. I know some people are very hesitant around it, and that's okay. Everybody has their aesthetic. I actually think it looks really, really nice. One of the things that I often worry about when it comes to the color choices and aesthetic of our product is whether or not the product has any charm, or if it has any approachability. Because while for a lot of us, especially the more hardcore gamers of us, let's be real, like we're golden. We're going to be fine. We've been playing games for years. We know how this works. But there are a lot of people that are still new to this experience. And we want to be able to create and invite in the new players that are not usually hardcore gamers to Vainglory and have them have a great time. And I think what the new UI does is take a nice step towards making it feeling friendly and approachable, far more so than our past UI was. Then past that, you know, I think we can always iterate. We can always change things. I know you guys are asking questions like somebody is asking, like, why is the new UI to other mobile MOBAs? That's kind of just an outcropping of us being first to genre. It's more that other MOBAs have taken cues from what we established when they made their product. And so their UIs were very similar to ours. And that's okay. It's somewhat to be expected. You know, it's just kind of how the game industry works. But if you notice, our UI that we have shown you guys that we're making is still very similar to the UI that was there before it. It's not dramatically different. It's interesting that you guys are now drawn to our competitors with it, which is fair, but it's just because our competitors were more kind of drafting behind us. That said, whenever we decide that we want to introduce color or that we want to make changes and so forth, I think the colors and changes and the schemes that we're looking at right now are all much more appealing, much more attractive, and I'm excited to see where things go.
Perfect.
The biggest takeaway we've heard from the feedback is that the community wants Vainglory to have a darker tone, that is the nature of the world, and have a more serious professional tone, where we have taken that into consideration.
Yeah. So you will see some changes. We're excited about where it's heading toward. We could do probably an entire 2-hour AMA on just the shade of blue. We do want to move on. I should have said at the start, if you do have further questions, please add them in the Discord chat on the dialogue discussion channel, rather. I know a lot of you guys are already doing it. Please continue to do it. We are here monitoring all of the additional questions that are coming back. Meanwhile, just shifting gears a little bit to all the changes, not just in UI, but rather in-game with 5v4. This is for Captain Nito. Are we reworking heroes for 5v5? And so, for example, can Churnwalker now hook 5 opponents? Does Fortress now have 5 wolves? What happens in 5v5? And are the heroes, do they still play the same between 3v3 and 5v5? What can we talk about there?
So, yes, we are doing reworks to heroes in 5v5, and it's terrifying. I'm legitimately scared, and it's a good thing to be scared, because our heroes are balanced very, very carefully against each other. The way that their abilities work, the numbers and tunings of their abilities. So the moment that we decide to shake the entire snow globe, it's really scary to make sure that all the flakes settle back into a pleasing and balanced configuration. But yes, we have gone through all of our heroes. We have a giant process document in which we have analyzed each of their efficacy on 5v5, and looked at what they need in order to be viable, both in terms of their play styles in 3v3, as well as their core abilities. So for example, yes, Trendwalker can hook five opponents. Yes, Fortress will release five wolves. And I'm giving these as examples, but also please don't hold my feet to the fire on this. Any examples that I tell you now, there is a very good chance things will change between when you're hearing my voice this moment and when you actually get your hands on it, because we are iterating on this constantly. Some of our changes that we've made to these heroes have been a little overdramatic, and we've had to tune it back a little bit. It has completely shaken up which heroes are the strongest. Some heroes that you would think that are no longer nearly as strong in 5v5, and that's what makes the game exciting for you guys to get your hands on it.
And I think it's, I guess, as you watched the show matches at Worlds and a lot of the alpha environment play that you've seen from streamers and YouTube video creators, Vainglory certainly retains its character in 5v5. The heroes retain their core personality throughout. And Captain Ito, correct me here if I'm wrong, we are aiming for the heroes to really be balanced in a very similar fashion inside of the 3v3 and the 5v5 environments, with possibly some global obvious changes. Would that be a fair way to put it?
That is a fair way. And there, we want to make sure that the heroes stay true to their roles, true to their personality, true to their play style. So if you have fallen in love with a hero, like if you love playing Alpha, you should feel like Alpha feels like Alpha when you play it on the when you play her on 5v5. So we're keeping all of that in mind. And I'm really excited for you guys to see the changes.
And that actually segues nicely to, there's some questions live on will 3v3 be removed or somehow down prioritized when 5v5 is out? And there's a resounding answer to that, which is no. We are very passionate about the Halcyon Fold and 3v3 play for lots and lots of different reasons. It will not be removed in general.
There's also another question that popped up that really quickly I'll jump on this. Someone asked whether or not we're redefining the roles of carry, jungler, and captain in 5v5, or simply defining the roles as top, mid, and boy, bottom. So we're not sure what the community is going to it's a three-legged race, us on the dev side, alongside with you guys, the community. You guys will probably come up with the best terms for things. And so we're gonna keep really flexible on this part of the experience. So we're starting using the familiar terms because there's a lot of history behind them and our community already knows them. So you will see terms like carry, jungler, and captain appear for 5v5, even though even internally there are many of us at Super Evil that talk about, you know, is that the best fit for terminology in this new emerging 5v5 meta? The likely answer is no, and that they will change. But for launch, you will see familiar terms that you know. We are introducing the concepts of where you might play as well, top, mid, and bottom, and jungle. But we're not going to try and remix the terminology without letting you guys have a hearty say in what it's going to be as well.
Yeah, I'll actually add to that as a captain main on the Halcyon Fold. I get it a lot is like, why don't you just call this role support? And I think having now played this role a lot in the 5v5 environment, it is very different. Like this, at least in the emerging meta right now, this role feels very different to what it would be normally characterized as support in some other popular MOBAs, and in particular on PC, that whether that description ends up catching on or being fair to that role is something that we will see over time.
And the meta is going to be really, really, in our playtesting, we've seen matches with two junglers, so one person dedicated to each half of the jungle on your side of the map. We've seen, instead of the typical one carry per lane, we've seen people double up because mid lane is so good. You can quickly affect the other lanes because of the river speed boost going to the side lane. So that none of that stuff is set. People are still figuring out really strong strategies, what they think are strong strategies. So we're going to wait until that settles.
Good. Further on the in-game experience of 5v5, can we talk a little bit about the technical specifications, how we're expecting frame rates and memory load and such things? If you're playing 3v3 right now on your device, will 5v5 be a lot more sluggish? Will it turn your brand new phone into a toaster? What does it do?
So the reality is, it is a much more complicated set of assets and code that is running on 5v5 than 3v3. And if you you're a gamer, it's a much, much bigger map. Everything that we showed you guys holds true. This thing is a massive beast, and it's super exciting to play on. So what we have been doing is fighting to make sure that the experience feels like your experience on 3v3. And for the most part, I feel like we have that well in hand. As to your specific device and how it plays, for the majority of the devices, I can confidently say your experience is going to be the exact same as it. There are some outliers that we are still working hard to make sure that these devices also get the exact same play experience that we know that you guys expect. And we will continue to work tirelessly until those devices are performing up to our expectations. And since we are hard gamers, our expectations are the same as your expectations, which is it should be awesome. It should be buttery smooth, yada, yada, yada. That's our current working strategy. And that is what Tommy, who is not on the Discord with us today, that is what Tommy and his team are working on diligently.
Yeah, so when I stood on stage a month ago saying it will run on the same device, I wasn't lying.
No.
We are making it run on the same device. So then let's talk a little bit about changes, the other changes that are coming out in 2.12 and overall how we think about the out-of-game changes. We talked about the in-game changes. We talked a little bit about the UI, but we haven't really talked about the out-of-game functionality changes overall. Let's talk first about the fact that we are increasing the max account level, and also we are, of course, changing the skin system. So, and we have Fire Tiger, not to be confused with Fire Lily, here talking to. Let's first talk a little bit about what are the rewards. So, what happens? I am right now level 30. I have played 30. What happens as 2.12 comes out, and what kind of rewards should I be expecting? Or for that matter, if I'm level 21 or level 13.
Yeah. Hey guys. Excited to be here. I've been told often that I have a perfect face for radio, so I'm glad my talent is being recognized. So for levels 30 through 40, you know, we wanted to make sure that it was a similar curve to 20 to 30. We thought that was a good end game curve where you got some meaningful progression, but it wasn't too easy to go through. So each number is pretty impactful. And as such, you know, when we make the curve similar, we want to reward similarly. About how much time you spend in is what we want to give out the equivalent reward to. So you can expect the levels 30 through 40 rewards to be very similar to that of 20 through 30. The one thing that I do want to call out is, you know, 28 through 30, especially the level 29 to 30 grind, was really, really long. And so we did reduce that. For level 39 to 40, it won't be as hard as that 29 to 30, because that often took people months to do, which it just doesn't feel good when you spend, you know, so long playing the game, but that XP bar barely goes up.
Yeah, so that's good. And to be, if you are level like halfway through that level 29 2-month grind right now, have we actually changed it? Are you going to move around somehow in your?
No, that's a good call. So whatever you are right now is, so if you're level 30 and you know you've been level 30 for years, you will start at level 30 and then you will, you know, start the grind, the level 30 to 40 progression, just like everyone else.
Great. And can we talk about what are the rewards like? What should you be expecting? A free car?
No, yeah. So it will be very similar to, you know, 20 to 30. You can expect glory. You can expect ice. You can expect cards, talents. And, you know, if you're lucky, maybe a skin or so. And so, you know, we have the chests broken down into the different tiers. And if you wanted to take a look at what we have for our level 20 to 30 chests, it will be very similar to those. So if you remember what, you know, during those levels, expect that again.
Great. So finally, that XP bar is going to start moving up. That's exciting. And so speaking of cards, of course, in 2.12, cards are sort of going away-ish, becoming blueprints. The whole skin system is changing. The blueprints article, or maybe perhaps it makes sense to recap what that change is. And then specifically, in the article, it mentions that there will be different ways to get blueprints over time. How can you get the blueprints? Because clearly the new system is all about blueprints and essence together in order to craft skins. So how do I get myself some of them blueprints?
Yeah, so let me, for those of you guys who don't know, which I'm sure will be nobody, let me just go over how the blueprints will work and why we want to do it. You know, we wanted to make a system that was simplistic to use, right? So when I go into the game right now, I have to collect 3 different cards and I have to have different amount for the cards, and then I can craft the skin. And it seemed a little bit complicated, especially for a new user who comes in and sees, oh man, this ooze, what do I do with this ooze? And then you have to go to the actual character to figure out what you do with it. We want to get rid of that and just make it so you have something, you know, 2 ingredients. One is the blueprint, which is the thing that enables you to grind the skin for free. And then you have essence. And then combining these two will get you that skin. Very simplistic to use. And so when we move over to the system, I've heard a lot of feedback and questions about, you know, the essence costs for the ultimates, or the essence costs for the legendaries and the epics and the rares have all increased. And people are worried about, you know, when should I craft it? Should I craft it now because it's cheaper in essence to do it? Should I craft it later? And without giving too much of the, you know, specifics, I just want to say the drop rates will also change, right? So right now we have a certain amount of essence and cards dropping in the game, and we want to match that. We're not going to make it extremely hard. We're not going to make it way easier. We want to do what we've been doing, but just in a different way. So whatever you are currently doing for however long it takes you to grind a rare, epic, or legendary, we want to match that. The one thing that we did want to tune, it was a little bit too easy and too fast to grind for that rare, and a little bit way too long to grind for that legendary or even epic. And so we want to tune it so it's more difficult relative to each other to get that rare skin, and it'll be easier to get a free legendary, free epic.
And on the skin system change further, can you outline one more time what happens? And of course, we have articles, the resources, but I have a collection of cards right now. As part of the update 2.12, those cards will be basically destroyed, and they will become a set, some essence and some blueprints. How is that? How does that work?
Yeah. So, you know, we will hopefully provide as much support as possible to fully explain this, but, you know, vocally, let me just say, you take out the comments, whatever you have that you're trying to see, do I qualify for this blueprint? Take out the commons and you add up the essence cost of everything else. All the rares, all the epics, all the legendary cards, you add up the essence cost, and then you see, okay, how much essence in cards do I have for this? Once you have that total that's needed, you say, okay, I have, you know, 4 rares and I have 1 epic and I have 8 legendaries, right? And then you multiply the cost to say, okay, 4 rares will get me 4 times, you know, the decraft or the craft value of the rares, and then you add up the epics and then the legendaries and see, do I go over that 33% threshold? If you're over, then you get it. You know, you not only get to keep the cards in the sense of you will get that full decraft value for those cards, but you'll also get a free blueprint so that you can go ahead and, you know, we recognize that you've made significant progress towards getting that that skin. We want to give you that significant progress in the new system too. So we give you that blueprint for free. One thing that I failed to mention that I noticed, how do we get more blueprints, right? That's the big question, big ticket question of, I want to get this skin. How do I get the blueprint for it? And right now, you know, we have blueprints for the grandfathering system. You will get many blueprints if you cross that 33% threshold. But we're also thinking about ways of including blueprints all over our game, right? So we want to include it in events where, similar to our Winter Sleigh ride, you got something. It'd be so awesome if we could give out blueprints in events. You know, we want to add it to chests so that when you pull a mystery chest or when you pull, you know, a daily chest or something, you might get a blueprint. We want to add it to quest chests. You know, whenever you complete something, complete a quest, and you pull that chest open, you have a small chance of getting blueprints. And then we're thinking about ways of integrating it with all our other systems, whether that's guilds, ascensions, free giveaways. Basically, we want to reward players for supporting us. You know, we recognize that, you know, we really value you playing our game. And by playing our game, we know that you want some progression. And we want to say, hey, thanks. You know, thanks for playing our game. Thanks for supporting us. And here's something to, you know, to work for, to get something.
Great. So we talked about the level cap increase. We talked about the skin system and the associated changes. I highly recommend, by the way, that you go and read these articles. And I think that we will have further examples as to exactly how this will work coming out in the coming days. to further explain these changes. It is sometimes takes a little while to really internalize all of the numbers, but hopefully it will feel as you get to 12 and you start playing with it, it will feel intuitive and clear how it works. Moving on from that, let's talk a little bit about ranked. So let's talk about the skill progression in the game, if you like, not just the cap and XP. Lots of questions came out about, hey, will 5v5 ranked? What happens to 3v3 ranked? What happens to the ranked tiers? Are we sticking to the system? What are we doing about ranked? I'm very proud of my POA gold status. One day I will be VG. Hashtag carry me, please, community. And what do we expect to be happening on this front? It's been relatively static for a long time. This is, has been a system that's been in place and with lots of comments on it. What are we going to do? Maybe, I don't know, Captain Nita, if you want to start and then...
So 5v5 gives us the opportunity and... for us to be able to take a closer look at ranked, which was something that we've had as a pet passion for quite a while. There were just so many other things on our radar that we wanted to attack first. So the short answer is ranked will be evolving in 2018. How we are going to evolve it and to what direction is still being discussed, but we are going to be introducing ranked for 5v5 very, very fast after initial launch. In 3.0, when you guys first get your hands on 5v5, there won't be ranked, but there will be ranked very, very shortly after. And because of that, we're also going to take the opportunity to sit down and craft a rank experience that we've always wanted and that we think you guys are going to really love. What do you think, you? Surprise birthday.
So we wanna address some of the biggest issues of rank, which is just how confusing the VST system is, number one, and number two, just being able to show off what you've accomplished. But these are kind of the issues that we want to look at, just how confusing it is when I go up, when I go down, why did I lose this many points, gain that many points? It's just one of the most common questions you see on Reddit. How does this VST system work? I think that shows signs that there's either some explaining to do or some changes. And also, I think at the end of the day, like when you get to a really, really high tier, like some people take screenshots and post it on Reddit, but there really are just better ways to show it off in the game itself.
Mm. Yep. And I guess from my perspective these days as a player, I tend to go to these API sites to track various other forms of statistics and things. Yeah. These are things that we are also passionate about as players. We all play every day. So yeah. Hopefully we will see the introduction of some of these things, perhaps even in an easier fashion in the game. So ranks, we're holistically looking at that system, both for 3v3 and 5v5, it's fair to say?
Yes, for both.
And so how about then... One of the persistent, I think, increasing or the persistent feedback, and certainly there's been a lot of questions about toxicity recently, ranging all the way from please bring back the question mark ping, although we're watching you guys.
Been flagged.
Yeah, those have been flagged. But everything from the question mark ping and the in-game communication, all the way to the out of game. Hey, we've had the low priority queue, the LPQ system in place for some time, but there's certainly a perception, and I think as players, we as well see it ourselves, that perhaps there is opportunity to do more when it comes to rewarding good behavior, perhaps punishing bad behavior in the game. Because at the end of the day, the game is only as fun as however, you know, what everyone makes it as players. So how do we think about that? How do we think about toxicity right now? Is it a priority? What sort of things are we thinking about it?
Yeah, toxicity for me is a really high priority. Like really, really high. Somebody had asked on Reddit, you know, why I wasn't using my Captain Nito account. And I had mentioned there that I had retired my Captain Nito account to use a bunch of alternate accounts where people do not know who I am, just so that I could get a feel for the real player experience. And I frequently go through the experience of playing the game at a variety of elos just so that I can also get a sense of how other players are experiencing the game. And I can tell you, toxicity is definitely a thing very high on my list because I feel it too, guys. I am right there with you. If you're having frustrating experiences and you want to frisbee your device across the room, I can only tell you it will get better. It is something that we've started our conversations around. I don't have anything firm to tell you exactly how it will evolve, but we do know that it's important to you guys, and it is important to us too.
So there's been a lot of things we've had ideas on how to do, and we will pick that up as soon as 3.0 is released. There's a bunch of stuff we can do to detect toxicity. on their server side. Like some, they'll be really, really clever how to like be toxic in a way that's non-obvious to a machine, but oftentimes it is very, very obvious to a machine or to some basic statistical analysis. It can be caught. So that's going to be one of the things on our agenda post-Rio, to catch the obvious cases that, as far as a machine can tell, that a human is being toxic. Of course, there will be troll artists who will bring it to a level of art not appreciate, but we can catch all the other ones. Just like today, if you AFK, the server can detect that sometimes, and it will contribute a vote. So basically the way AFK works today is the server actually is able to downvote players. It will not unanimously punish someone, but it will contribute a vote alongside other human voters. We want the server to also contribute a vote for trollish behavior as well. But that vote will always go alongside the human votes to add to the number of vote pool. The best thing to do is we still need humans to downvote other trolls.
You have to corroborate the server's detection of these kinds of things. So it's important for people to thumbs up or thumbs down after games.
Yeah. In fact, if the server downvotes someone for either AFK, even for AFK today, and no human downvotes that player, we actually don't do anything. The server's vote doesn't count. So the server votes, but its vote only counts if another human votes. So we have to be sure we need another human. So please continue to use that feature. I think we've had a problem in the past where as toxicity goes up, people sometimes lose faith in the system and stop using the votes. Actually, the more you use votes, it is, teaches us what is actually toxic behavior and what's not. Another thing is we can do a lot better on communication. One of the things that we don't do well today is basically telling the player right after the match that they've done something bad and being very specific about what they did, whether it's rude pings or trollish behavior such as suiciding in the turrets. Just telling the player that what they did was not okay is something that we ought to be doing, and we know it's very effective. And also, we will be visiting the punishments and the rewards and create basically a wider range of experience between whether you're a good or a bad person. For one thing, we will be looking at making sure that if an account actually gets punished, it will be harder to just log out and swap to another account. The typical issues we've had with bans and LPQs is just that people change accounts. So we'll be looking at that to making sure that the punishments actually stick to the person.
So work on ranked and thinking about reimagining what that might be like in 2008. Also, hear you on toxicity. It is a significant area of focus for us, as are frankly many other quality of life things. We've heard a lot of feedback on the social systems and other things. And really, the good news is that now that this mammoth project that the majority of the company has been working on, all of the changes leading up to 5v5, as you now know, it's not just about for the 5v5. It's also out of game, the skin system and the UI and all of those changes. Part of those changes have enabled us to work on some of these things quicker. So we are very excited about getting back to the quality of life aspects of the game moving forward. Let's do a thing for the next 5 minutes, though. That's a little different. We've got a lot of questions in, and if you haven't gotten your question in, please get the question in by typing it into the discussion channel, the Dev Dialogue discussion channel. I'm going to do a thing where we do a 15-second answer to each of these questions that our team here has jotted down. And I'm going to either answer it myself or give it to someone else to answer. And we'll literally go through questions real quick. So one, is there a calendar for this year's esports tournaments? Answer is no, there is not yet, but there will be. We will be communicating things on this over the next couple of weeks. Stay tuned. All right, 15-second answer. Can vision be explained in more depth?
No. I mean, yes. The answer is yes, but we will likely do this. We can share it with a much wider audience on the community, because I know that it's going to be a really big topic. And yes, we are experimenting with how vision works. So if you've seen vision work in ways that you haven't expected it to, that is because we are still in the midst of figuring out how we best want to balance it for 5v5.
Okay, done. Speaking of vision and invisibility, where is Spotlight?
I was just working on it, but then AMA 5v5.
We are an evil megacorp, and we're honest about it. So how do I get you to hire me? Stefan, how do you hire Captain Ito, how do you hire people?
I don't know if you're joking or not. So if you're actually serious, send your resume to jobs@superevilmegacorp.com, and we will absolutely take a look.
We read them all.
We definitely look at them all. And if you're a rock star, we will definitely be reaching out to you. Give us a reason to hire you. Show off. I mean, this is your time. It's your spotlight. Send us a link to a website where you have done something legendary, and we will absolutely find a way to work with you.
Awesome. Is there a recommended team comp for 5v5?
There are, and metas have been emerging, and people that always get shaken up every time we do a heavy review. So I'm not going to tell you that there is a prescribed team comp for 5v5 that will come out in 3.0, because we still haven't necessarily put the final touches on all the gameplay balancing. So stay tuned.
Good. Hi, CEO. I love you from Rainyak. I love you too. That's so sweet. I love all of you. All right. Will Heroes be released at the same rate as...
And Rainyak, I'm taking this personally that you didn't send a love...
I see how it is. No.
I,
this is great. You chose well, Rainyak. You chose well.
Chose poorly. I'm nerfing your hero. Whoever. You love.
All right, will Heroes be released at the same rate as before 5v5?
And we slowed down slightly just because so much of our attention was put on 5v5, and we apologize for any sluggishness that you guys have experienced. We will be resuming our regular hero cadence right after 3.0 launch.
Yes. Since tiered skins are being broken into three, will this affect Sunlight?
So the skins are still in those tiers. The tiers haven't changed. It's just, we just want to unify all the prices within the tiers.
Will the app take twice the storage space on my device? No, it will not. It'll likely take a little, but it will not double the storage space. We are constantly working on optimizing all of the things, so hopefully less in the future. Is there plans to ever revamp some voice lines? Will we be redoing voice?
Actually, there are a couple of plans where we've talked about revamping some of the voice lines. Some of them were experiments that we loved, but it's a touchy subject because I know a lot of times when people buy a hero, they fall in love with the character and the voice that we had. So we're going to tread very carefully with that.
I love tacos. Please don't change taco.
I won't change taco.
Although, I heard a line, so that's going to be interesting. We may have done that.
More taco lines. More taco lines.
Just taco lines.
Entire stand-up comedy.
Please tell me more about my mom.
Yeah.
Great. All right, how do we feel about joystick controls and other controls?
It's a hot topic. I feel like at the end of the day, the control scheme that we have for Vainglory is, to me as a player, the best of any that I have seen on any of these devices, bar none. And that is just the God's honest truth. I do think that there are plenty of people that raise great concerns about the approachability of the control scheme and whether or not new players are going to be able to figure it out fast enough for them to experience the fun. And to that end, we are at least open to those kinds of conversations, and we're having internal conversations to see where those are going to go.
All right. How will you place me in 5v5 matchmaker the first few times? Are we going to grandfather your rank from 3v3, your elo, or are we literally going to make it a free-for-all, ultra-fast matchmaking between everyone?
Free for all.
It won't be free for all.
Your rank from all your other game modes will matter, though your rank from 3v3 ranked mode will matter the most. But that said, all of your MMRs will be translated over with some discount.
And in all fairness, again, I pride myself in my POA rank in 3v3.
It is a
and I am game. I am literally just beginning bronze when it comes to 5v5. So like legitimately I love 5v5 to bits, but I am still learning.
Every time the game gets shaken up like that, I really look forward to finding out the OP strats and just breaking the balance. Good luck, guys. Good luck, balance team.
All right. And the 3v3 rewards mechanical skill a lot and some rotational thinking, some vision thinking and other things. 5v5 is much, much, much more balanced toward knowing where you should be at any one time. Yeah. So that rotational decision making, the map awareness is just at a different level altogether. So mechanical skill still matters, but you do need to develop a whole new muscle. So it is fair enough to not assume your ranks to exactly correspond, but not free for all. So it will take some account of your current rank. Mm-hmm. How about this? Will cards double up for grandfather's blueprints? For example, for grandfathered blueprints, rather. So if you currently have cards, will they double up? For example, could I get both epic and legendary if I have enough to get the legendary blueprint?
Yes, they do double up. In that specific example, I don't think that makes sense because there are no legendary cards in an epic skin, but they do double up. So
they, sorry, they double count.
Yes, they double count.
Yeah. If you have just enough epic cards to get, meet the 33% requirement for the epic skin, you'll get the blueprint for the epic skin. But you will, those will count again when we're trying to figure out if you meet the 33% for the legendary. So epic cards are double counted because they're in both epic and legendary requirements, and rare cards are triple counted. Yes. Even though technically, if you were trying to craft them, you know, crafting the rare card skin would have consumed them. We don't consume them. We just double, triple count them.
Great. Friend list needs a more effective way to add delete people. When will you improve the friend list? When?
Hey, you know how I said that the UI work never ends? Yeah. That is there. That is on the list. Definitely.
All right, Ciderhelm. Ciderhelm is not in this room right now, but are we going to make him do Hero Spotlight?
Probably not. Sorry.
Oh,
that
sweet voice.
I can always ask him, but at the end of the day, Ciderhelm is incredibly, incredibly busy. And it's great because his talents are so expansive. And even though you guys don't voice, what you are experiencing day to day is the effect of his design. He, as a lead designer right now, is responsible for nearly every aspect of the gameplay internally. And so while I'm so sorry that I ripped him away from talking to you guys, you are still getting the full Ciderhelm experience, just different.
Maybe he'll do an album one day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get him to.
Yeah.
All right. There's actually been a fair few questions about the detailed mechanics in 5e5, and obviously understanding that these are still changing. But for example, like the river buff, does it only speed you up or does it also slow you down in the opposite direction?
River buff does not slow you down. You just run regular speed if you're not running with the current.
How about new support items or utility items in general, aside from the scout cams? Are there new things?
So there are not new captain items that are outside of vision. There are a few utility items that are shared across all roles that you will see being introduced. We'll have a lot more to talk about this when it gets a little closer to 3.0, because even as we speak, we are rubbing our chins and deciding what is healthy for the balance of the game and what has possibly tilted the game in various directions. The PBE is helping us out with this, and I'm really excited for you guys to try them out.
Cool. And on again, to remind you guys, if you have questions that you want to add to this conversation, we're going to try to run through a couple real quick. Please add them to the discussion channel, the Dev Dialogue discussion channel. We'll try to get through them as quickly as we can. Are there going to be brawl modes for 5e5?
Yes. Not at 3.0, but yes.
How long will it take to complete an average 5e5?
Right now, the matches are clocking in between 20 to about 25. Sometimes they can stretch to 30 minutes. So you're looking about the exact same time for a
good. So many questions. Can we make a practice mode so we can pick heroes for team and enemies?
Yes.
Yes. Right. And when will we be able to play 5v5 if we have a goal?
2/12.
Yep. Yes. And we announced the dates for that, which is end of January. We're working hard. We do not control release date. Emphasize say this again. We are working hard to get this out as soon as we can. We do not control the ultimate date. We believe it will be one of the last days in January, so in a couple of weeks' time. We are very excited about it. Can't wait to play with all of you guys. So a couple of more creative questions. We've had some interesting questions around debate around.
She is a sea snake.
And
just, and for the record, mermaids, their lower half are fish, and Lorelai's lower half is a snake. So I feel like that question should have been kind of obvious. Come on, community. I expect better.
it's good always to have an anatomy lesson as part of these AMAs. How about the inspiration for Sovereign's Rise overall? A specific place or time or thought behind that, sort of a leading thought behind the art direction?
Man, so if any of you guys that are listening to this Discord aren't in game development and you don't know what you want, absolutely encourage you to start tinkering and try your best to jump in, because when you have the chance to create like we did with 5v5, there are moments, these pockets of moments where you get to just sit down, eat a burrito with a friend of yours and dream big and do whatever you want. The way 5v5 came together is myself, the art team, Chainsaw, other people around the company. We all kind of just sat around a table and we were just like, this is cool. What do we want to do? What would be awesome? What is the awesomest thing that we can dream up? And those conversations are fun. Those are the times when you love your job. It's just so, so fun. What that turned into was sketches, collaborations about settings from our lore that really moved us in our story. We knew that the Storm Queen and her involvement in lore was really something that amongst the devs, everybody was really excited and passionate about. And so little by little, the best ideas kind of all congealed and rose to the top. And what we ended up with was a setting that we thought we could really sell the layout and the format of the 5v5 while giving the flavor of the lore and the experience of Vainglory the full, like, the full treatment. And that's how it kind of got birthed. And then Chainsaw and the art team took it from there. And they did a bunch of paintings and a bunch of sketches. And we did revisions on those paintings and sketches and on and on and on until it turned into what it is today.
And on a further creative question, what language does Turnwalker speak? I know it's not Finnish.
No, he speaks a new language. Actually, the language Turnwalker speaks was written by Sugar Venom. She went so over the top for Turnwalker. She legitimately invented a language for Turnwalker, even though that is not necessary. It was legendary. So he actually speaks a unique language. There is a translation that you can use to go from English to Turnish, which is what I call the language. Yeah, if you're really kind and nice, maybe Sugar Venom will share with you guys a translation dictionary so you can speak it too.
Interesting. Question on the tutorialization. It is a hard one. Will there be a tutorial for 5v5? Are we just going to figure it out?
Yeah, there will be a tutorial. And that's actually what the game dev team is working really hard on now, is upgrading our tutorial, kind of trying to do our best to give it a bit of a facelift, to open up the experience for new players and to shift the tutorial towards 5v5. Now, you won't be able to play, likely, you won't be able to play the tutorial that is slated for 5v5 in 2.12. That experience, that full experience will be there in 3.0.
Great. A couple of just quick announcements before we take the final set of questions. Firstly, there was a dev stream scheduled later on today. We're actually moving that to Wednesday of next week. We'll be making an announcement, no doubt, on social media and otherwise on this. But the dev stream today is going to be rescheduled, and we're excited about showing 5v5 and other things for you next week. And otherwise, also look out for golden ticket giveaways in the coming weeks. We are organizing lots of fun things on social media. Please join in. We have a number of golden tickets to give away. And as ever, remember to follow us on social media, on Twitter, Vainglory Game, on Facebook, on any other forms of social media you can think of. We are probably most likely there. And you're obviously on Discord, so but keep on the lookout for announcements there also. So golden ticket giveaways coming up in different forms across social media, so keep following us there. There's a lot of questions that I've looked at recently, and some of them came in over the week, and we've seen some in chat also. It's like, what about, and the joystick question alluded to that, Vainglory, when we talk about it, we talk about it in the context of a competitively legit MOBA. But what about casual players, or attracting more casual players? It's sort of a pretty big umbrella term, and I don't even always know what people mean by casual players fully, but can we talk a little bit about accessibility in Vainglory in general? And you mentioned already the as well as thinking about things like controls and teaching and other things. Any wise words on how we think about approachability?
I think that the mantra here is easy to learn and hard to master. There are a lot of things you can do to make your game and make your experience much more accessible without robbing it of its depth. So for us, the height of the experience is on touch controls. on a 5v5 map with the full depth of our heroes, our characters, and also the rotational strategy of 5v5, how to be in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. But there are actually many, many on your way there, at least for me, learning how to play at the point. I spent many, many hours that were equally fun, not knowing what I was doing with the wrong build, being in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it was still fun all the way through. What was important, though, was that every time I graduated from one, you know, major class of thinking of how to play the game well, there was always some other deeper level for me to dive into. And as long as that exists, I think that's the most important thing. But we got to make sure that the ladder at the bottom end actually exists. Because right now we know that the higher end of it exists and there are people climbing that. But sometimes at the bottom, no one can get on.
Yeah. So approachability, casual, more casual players who are new. Yes, we are. Them too, yes. Always, but not at the expense of the strategic depth of the control accuracy of all of those things that we love about the experience ourselves.
Like the recommended build example, it doesn't rob from the experience at all. You just go to manual build, you choose what you want to choose, how you want to plan out your build path in the game, but you can just turn off all that stuff. But it really, really helps the new players.
Perfect. Now, really important straw poll here. This is like 10 second answer. Who would win? We're going to go around the table. Who's going to win? Kraken or Blackclaw? Captain Ito.
Kraken.
Kraken. Yeah, I think Kraken too.
Yeah.
What?
In a fight?
Blackclaw. But what are you talking about? The dude can breathe fire.
But like, Kraken has hands.
Little tiny hands.
Yeah, but she uses her arms and her hands to. I don't know.
Maybe we just need to put it in the game.
Kraken
versus
Godzilla mode. You know, pure stats. Okay, Blackclaw would win because Blackclaw is balanced for 5 players.
Yeah, no,
you just spawn them. Go out of here.
If you just spawn them
on stream. On stream, spawn them at opposite ends of the Sovereign's Rise and see what happens.
Okay, fine. All right. Yeah, that's probably true.
All right. That would be an interesting expectation. Anyway, moving on. How about voice chat? People have been asking about voice chat for a long time. Communication in general. Actually, it's worth maybe zooming out and looking at communication in both the draft phase as well as in-game.
So I'm going to be honest with you guys about voice chat. We are tantalized by voice chat. And we are also, we have a healthy respect for how bad voice chat could go as well. It's kind of like fire. It looks really pretty, and you want to use it to cook your food, but you also don't want to use it to burn your house down.
You don't want to get flames.
Yeah, exactly. So at the end of the day, when it comes to voice chat, if we take that step, which is a step that we may take, then we just want to make sure that we do it in a way that is going to be complementary to the community, that is going to make you guys super excited and happy while simultaneously not make our toxicity a problem any worse. When we strike that balance, when we have that opportunity, then you may see that feature arise. For now, 5v5 is our focus, so that's what we've been keeping our conversations focused on. But as 2018 opens up, that is back on the table for discussion.
And even though I was joking earlier with the question mark ping and people's use of it, but it is fair to say that the in-game communication options are evolving in 5v5. So
yes, they are evolving in 5v5.
Because there are different things that you will want to say and ask of your teammates.
Yep.
Now, question on one more mechanic, 5v5 mechanic question. Blackclaw and mid lane, does Blackclaw only through the jungle, top lane, bot lane, or...
The short answer there is we haven't yet decided for 3.0 whether he will only push down mid lane or push down other lanes. We have recently been experimenting with both. There are advantages and disadvantages to both cases. And so it will come down to Siderhelm making a decision between the two. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. All right. And then are there anything else in terms of what you're excited about? If you just go around the table, the most exciting thing for you personally in 3.0 as we all get to play with the entire community 5v5, what are you most excited about?
I'm the most excited about 5v5.
Just 5v5.
The whole thing. In truth, I'm actually excited for the 5v5 meta. I think it's going to be incredibly interesting to see what the players do with 5v5. Like it's been a thing we've been playing internally And then you kind of get a sense of like, oh, this must be the best way to do it. And then when you release the game, you realize you guys didn't have any idea internally what the best way to play 5v5 was. And the community tells you what you created. And that being part of that experience to me is one of the most fun parts of being in game dev, is finding out when the players tell you what you've made, not when you think you've made something that you released. So yeah, that's what I'm most excited for.
I am most excited for a certain feature in the 5v5 HUD that we haven't announced yet.
Ooh.
Jeez.
So
yeah.
All right. That's interesting. All right. How about you, Fire Tiger?
I'm excited for 5v5, but I'm also excited for what comes after 5v5, which is when we start focusing on other things like social stuff, guilds, account progression, other types of personalization stuff. I'm just really excited for what we'll work on 2018.
Yeah, I know. I would echo that. I am thrilled about 5v5. I am absolutely in love with it as a game mode. And as somebody who joined the company because I loved playing the very early beta of the Halcyon Fold and have been playing it every day since, this is just an incredible time to be a Vainglory player. And not only is it finishing up with 5v5, there is so much more to come after that. So in that vein, I actually, I want to conclude, because we are out of time, I do want to conclude by saying, as I said on stage in Singapore during Worlds, that I am just deeply appreciative of the amount and quality of feedback that we continue to get from all of you guys in the community, whether it's in through questions for sessions like this, whether it's your deep passion for graphic design and different shades of blue, or whether it's really thoughtful questions about some aspects of the Vainglory experience that we as players ourselves and as game developers don't always experience in the same way. So all of that feedback that you guys are giving us, really, we do read all of it. Like I literally, and when I work on two monitors, one of those monitors is constantly on TweetDeck and on monitoring social media. Otherwise, our wonderful community managers around the world in other languages do look at all of your feedback and send a report to the entire company of things that they have observed you saying and providing us feedback on, whether something is on fire, whether there is a lot of something that we should work on, or some ideas, or some interesting direction that you are wishing that we would take. So I continue to count ourselves incredibly lucky to have such a wonderful community as you guys to provide us with direction and feedback in all of the things that we do. So thank you so much. Appreciate it. Please do be on the lookout for these gold giveaways in the next couple of weeks. We will be giving away at least several hundreds of them, and in different ways through different competitions, different ways to participate. Look out for these things on Twitter, on Facebook, on your local social network if you have something different. Again, thank you. Appreciate your participation. We will be doing these things periodically moving forward. Hopefully, we will be doing a few more in the coming months. The dev stream that was scheduled for today starting now is moved to Wednesday of next week. I'm sure Playoff Beard will tweet about this and will be communicating about this. We will hopefully have something special to show you on Wednesday next week, and we will be hopefully restarting these dev streams more frequently. But with that, any final words, Captain Nito, surprise birthday, Fire Tiger?
Nothing that you haven't said. Thanks, everyone, for being so passionate. I see this Discord chat is huge. We see the tweets. We see the Reddit threads. Even if we don't respond, we're always watching. You know, all the great things, all the underhanded comments, everything. Like, we see everything, and we really appreciate it, to be honest.
Yeah, and I'd also say I'm really grateful for the people out there that tirelessly stick up for us. I know that there are a lot of situations where players get frustrated, and I know that it's very easy for players to feel like at the end of the day, you know, oh, Super Evil has become this, or Super Evil has become that, or they only... And at the end of the day, that's not true. We're the exact same dudes that made the game that we launched several years ago. We have not changed. All we've done is tried to get better and smarter, and try to deliver experiences that we feel that you guys would want, while simultaneously growing a company and internally being as fair to our employees and all of those things, all the best parts of being in the game industry. And sometimes we will screw things up. And I know that it sucks to hear it, but we try so hard not to. But when we screw, I am very grateful for those people that say, you know what? Super Evil isn't about that. They made a misstep. And if we make a misstep, you have seen that we do our best to try to correct it. We may not always agree on which direction to move forward with the product. And for people that don't like the decisions that we've made, that don't like them, I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, we have not changed who we are. As a company, we are there for you. That is what we do.
I'm looking forward to you guys breaking the meta in a week.
What a good way to end it. So we look forward to seeing all of you guys on the Halcyon Forum. Sovereigns Rise, breaking the meta. That is the challenge laid down by Surprise Birthday. Thank you so much for joining us today. Tune into our dev stream on Wednesday next week. Remember to follow us on socials for all of those golden ticket giveaways. But thank you for sticking with us today. Excited to have you all on board. Thank you so much, and goodbye.
And good night.